Dear Lord, we thank you for calling Ben into your service in Tanzania, and also, Lord, into your service to proclaim your gospel. We pray, Lord, that we may be very much open to it this morning as he preaches to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings from the Diocese of Ruaha in Tanzania, which is where we're working, in a small town called Iringa. So as has been mentioned already, I don't know if this is... We are out there with the Church Mission Society, which I know this church has a great and strong connection, especially through the Fulfords, with. So we thank you for your support over the years to allow us to do the things that we're doing and what I'll be talking about over the next couple of hours or so. Sorry, we're not in Tanzania, we're in England, so I better restrain myself. So, as you've seen on the video, this is where we work. This is the NEMA Centre, and you can see just some of our staff here outside of the project. Now, downstairs, we've got a workshop and shop, a craft shop, where we sell some of the crafts that you saw being made in the video. And upstairs, we've got a cafe, and you can see some of the cafe staff waving from the balcony. The great thing about our cafe is that it's run entirely by deaf staff, and the various people that come in from the community and so on are able to interact with our deaf and disabled staff in the cafe, and it's a great sign to them that people with disabilities are worth investing into, and they have ability, and a lot of people really enjoy our cafe, they come again, and so it's a great sign, and that's what NEMA Crafts is all about. It's about being a beacon of hope for people with disabilities in the community, and to express that people with disabilities are worth giving an education and worth employing and giving opportunities to, and showing people just what people with disabilities can do in the area. Now, I wonder, how many of you know what NEMA, or NEMA, as we might say in English, means in Swahili? Not you. You were here this morning, earlier. Anyone else? Okay, it was the subject of our Ephesians passage today. Does anyone know the key word that was mentioned in the Ephesians passage today? We sang about it. Grace, very good. Well done. Okay, very good. I'm not just doing jazz hands, that's well done in Swahili, as you heard this morning. Now, grace, the sign, the Swahili sign, because we had to learn Swahili sign, because about half of the people that we work with are deaf or hard of hearing. The sign for NEMA is that. Can we all do that? Okay, that's like a big hug from God, okay? And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be looking at how God's grace for us has dealt with our past, that's the sign for past, surprisingly, is available for us in the present, okay, and is prepared in abundance for us in the future. And I'll be sharing some of the stories of God's grace at the NEMA Project and how it's impacted some of the lives of our staff. Well, you don't need to turn with me because we've got... it's not come up, so you do need to turn with me. If you were to turn with me to Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. That's what we're looking at. Now, Paul starts this passage by talking about what we were before we received God's grace. And it's not very good for our egos. What does it say? Well, it starts by saying, what were we? We were dead in our sins. Not sick, not disabled like some of our staff that we work with, but we were dead. We had about as much potential as what Katie showed us this morning. This bag. Not very much potential. We were dead in our sin. We were ruled by a malevolent spirit, and we were headed for judgment. Now, I think you'll agree this is a pretty bleak description of how we once were. But the point is, if we were all of these things, then there was nothing that we did to deserve what God did for us through his love. Our future was hopeless. Now, for many of our staff at NEMA, they have pasts that were so bleak and so difficult that you or I could hardly imagine for recovering. Take Soretti. Soretti was the victim of the most horrendous abuse as a child. When she was just 2 weeks old, she lost her legs because she was She was burnt in a fire, deliberately burnt. She had to have her legs amputated at the hip. And when her father took her home, the other villagers said, just get rid of her, just kill her. There's no good that can come of her living with you in the family home. She's useless. There's nothing that she can do to help anyone. Just get rid of her. This is Julius. Julius was born able-bodied, but at the age of 3, he contracted polio. And as was the custom at the time in his village, when his parents took him home, they hid him away, they shut him away at home. And from going from an able-bodied 3-year-old playing outside in the sun, he was left at home all day while his siblings played outside and his parents went to the maize fields. You can see some of the maize being grown. That's the main crop in Tanzania. And this is Ali. Ali grew up in a devout Muslim family, and his twin brother and he used to compete at school together. Until, unfortunately, at the age of 8, he suddenly lost his hearing due to meningitis, or that's what he suspected. And his parents just didn't know what to do with him. Where should he get an education now, they asked. We don't know what to do. How can he learn now that he's deaf? Now, the difference between our staff stories and what Paul is saying in Ephesians is that our staff were victims of sickness and prejudice. But Paul says we were all deserving of God's wrath because of our sin. So the backdrop has been set, a bleak and dark backdrop. Now, the reason I've shown a diamond here is because if you imagine a jeweler is demonstrating a precious jewel, he'll often put a black backdrop in the background for you to really see the facets and the clarity and the beauty of the jewel. Well, this is what Paul's done here. He's contrasted how we were, how our past lives were, to how they have been made through God's grace. And here's some of the blessings, the many blessings that flow from God's grace. As we see in verse 6, God's raised us up to new life. He's seated us. This is the sign for sitting. He seated us with him. We have the assurance of salvation. We are seated in his rest. We're beacons of hope, mwanga, light. And of his kindness and grace. And we're saved from his wrath. We are God's new creations. Well, perhaps this morning you don't feel much like a new creation. Like we see here, Isaiah in our carpentry workshop. He's holding his new creation. Okay, it's a tray that he's made and carved. We use this tray now in our cafe, and we sell some in our shop. I think you'll agree it's pretty nice. It's made out of sustainable teak from a local source. But perhaps this morning you don't feel like that new creation. Perhaps many of us here are tired from a long week, or even tired from a long life. But I don't just mean that. Perhaps you're all too aware of your old sinful self. The one that Paul refers to in verses 1 to 3, you're too aware that seems still so alive and still working against that new identity Christ has won for you. Well, the wonder of God's grace is that it's wide enough to encompass even our present failings. What then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Well, what do we know from Romans? What does Paul say? By no means. Okay, hapana. By no means. But grace calls us instead to work out who we now should be in the light of our newfound freedom. As Michael Horton, the Californian theologian, says, where most people think that the goal of religion is to get people to become something that they're not, the scriptures call believers to become more and more what they already are in Christ. Now, I want to show you this. This means amen. And in a Swahili Tanzanian setting, if I was preaching, I'd keep saying, Bwana Yesu asifiwe, praise the Lord Jesus, and you would all respond with, Amen. Okay, that's the sign for Amen. Okay. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Amen. Because of his grace for the present, for the sasahivi, for the now, daily we're able to turn from our sin and ask for God's forgiveness. And as daily we orient our lives to be in step with him, we give room for his spirit living within us to guide us and empower us to become more the people he's created us to be. This beautiful synergy only exists within the ecosystem of God's grace for us. Well, here's Soretti again. This is at one of our retreats, and we go every year. We have a staff retreat. We go to a campsite, and this is her in a beautiful dress and in her wheelchair. Soretti grew up in the village. Her father decided to keep her at home and not just leave her. And she grew up learning to walk in a bucket. And she's shown me this. Even at her age now, she can still do it. She puts herself in a bucket. She waddles from side to side. That's how she learned to walk. She didn't have a wheelchair back then. Soretti is one of the most incredibly inspiring people I've ever met. And she managed to get herself to primary school in Dar es Salaam. Bearing in mind, she lived in a village that was near Mbeya, which is many, many miles away from Dar es Salaam. She managed to get herself sponsorship to go to a primary school there for physically disabled people. She then managed to go to Form 4, and this is about GCSE level. And then since then, she's been working at Namer Craft. She's been working for Namer about 8 years now. And she is so able. We've used her in so many different areas. But now she works with me in the office, and she's our bookkeeper accountant. She keeps records of all of our expenditure. She prepares payroll for the month, and she also produces monthly accounts each month. Soretti had amazing potential, and she's so inspiring. And here's Julius. Julius came to us about 7 years ago holding his one prized possession, and he came to us to sell it to us. It was his Cheriani, his sewing machine. And he said, I used to be able to live off the £1.50 a week I was earning from selling popcorn by the side of the road. But now I've got a child. Now my wife's had our first child, Brown. I can't support them, so I need to sell this just to release some capital so I can feed them for the week or for the next few months. We were able to say, no, Julius, we don't want to buy your sewing machine. You come and use your skills in our workshop. And we taught him how to make shorts and some of our fashion items, as well as some of the fun toys that you'll see selling out there. But amazingly, just before we left on furlough, we were able to see Julius in his new home. And thanks to the sale of the products that you're going to see outside as you leave today, and also the work in our cafe and so on, we've been able to fund partially this new project, which is the staff housing project. The way that it works is that our staff have to buy the land, and they also have to donate 5% of the building of their new home back to the project. But we've managed to build, Tunam Shkurumungu, we're thanking God, 37 staff homes since we started the project. And it's just been an amazing story of God's provision, God's faithfulness, his grace to us, that we've been able to produce revenue, that's been able to build these homes. Now, you might wonder, well, that's a really generous gift to give your staff homes, especially when they get a wage, they get a good wage. Shouldn't they be doing that for themselves? Well, we actually see that it is them doing it for themselves, because it's them working on these crafts that we can then sell and then pour back into this project. But actually, if you're earning a wage in Tanzania, often you're not just feeding your family, you're not supporting just your close family, you're also supporting your wider family, your friends. And so those wages that our staff earn disappear very, very quickly. It's very difficult for them to save money. And so these homes really give them a great foundation for their future, a great step out of the poverty trap. They're very simple two-room homes, but they are establishing themselves for the future. So Tunam Shukuru Mungu, we praise God for this amazing project that he seems to be blessing each year. And this is Katie celebrating outside the home of Edda, one of our staff members. And so to the future. The final gift of God's grace that we saw in our Ephesians reading today is works. We are created in Christ to do good works, which he's prepared in advance for us to do. You might think that work doesn't sound like too much of a gift. But if we choose to see that our every consignment has been prepared in advance, perhaps before the creation of the universe, by a loving God, it might begin to change the way we view what we do each day and the way that we go about it. Certainly to have paid work in Tanzania, as I've mentioned, really means a great deal, and it gives me great joy to see our staff working, especially in carpentry. That's my favourite workshop. I used to be a DT teacher. When I go up there and I see the guys working so hard, using their skills, using their God-given skills to produce wonderful, beautiful items, but also to earn a living, it gives me great joy. It really makes my heart sing. But we should also remember that as recipients of God's grace, we're called into his mission. And his mission is not just happening over there in Africa or India on the mission field, but actually, as our mission agency, CMS, says, the mission field is from everywhere to everywhere. We're all invited to join in God's mission wherever we are and whatever work we're involved with. Well, if anyone's life story was a story of God's grace, it's Ali's. Having not known what to do with their deaf son, Ali's parents discovered the Iringa School for the Deaf, which is also run by our diocese. And even though it was a Christian school, Ali's parents decided to send him there for his primary education. Ali then went on, having done really well at primary school, he then went on up north in the country, a place called Moshi, a very many miles away. And his best friend that he made there through his football team was a Christian. And this guy really challenged Ali in the way that he lived his life and managed to get him back into school when he almost got expelled. Then when he came home to Iringa, Ali's mum was really ill and he was desperate to find work. And he went to NEMA and he found work at NEMA. And now Ali runs our kitchen. He's the one responsible for buying in all of the raw materials and so on and managing our kitchen. It was our chaplain at NEMA that began to talk to Ali about God's love for him. And Ali soon realized that it had been God who'd led him through his life since becoming deaf. And he'd called him to train and work at these three different places where he's learnt about the love of God and about Jesus. Well, a few years back, Ali decided to give his life to Jesus. He had to go and ask permission from his dad, which was a really tough thing to do. But amazingly, his dad said, "Son, you follow whatever God has put on your heart." And we thank God that he allowed him to give his life, to commit his life to Jesus. And here he is in our local river being dunked by a chaplain. and they had to get across the river on a zip line, which was quite fun to watch. A priest in his full robes zipping across on a zip line. Well, now Ali leads this football team, and this is our NEMA deaf football team. And they are stepping out in their own mission. Now, I've talked about Julius being locked away and hidden away from the rest of the community. And unfortunately, this is still a practice that happens, especially within the villages. And as well as playing football and playing the local village team, part of the mission of this team is to go out and say, "Look what people with disabilities are able to do. Don't hide your children with disabilities." And the youth pastor for the diocese goes out with them. He's able to preach, and then people are able to give their testimony. Ali himself has given his testimony, obviously via via an interpreter, via someone that understands the sign, but also this guy at the bottom, Cloud. Some of the physically disabled guys go out with them. And Cloud gives an amazing testimony. He's got such a powerful way that he talks. And he always says, "I am not a mistake. God does not make mistakes." And it just speaks so powerfully to the community. And he talks about, why do you think it's okay for you to hide your disabled children? I am working at NAMA, and the things that I produce support my family, support my friends, but also those things go out. They don't just sell in Tanzania, but they sell in Europe, in the UK, in America. And he's so proud that what he produces goes out across the world. But the main thing that he says is, Namshukuru Mungu, I thank my God for the grace that he's had for me in my life. Well, of course, we can never experience or understand the full magnitude of God's grace until we meet Jesus again, at which time we'll receive our new selves and an inheritance in him that is way beyond any earthly riches or happiness. In our world that clings to material wealth and past success, as if these things in themselves could offer salvation, we as Christians can offer such a distinctive perspective as we live our lives in the knowledge of his grace that's dealt with our past, is present in the now, and has been prepared for us in abundance in our eternal future. Let's pray. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that it's because of your great love and mercy that you brought us back to life. And this was nothing to do with us, our own ability or potential. Help us by your Spirit to reject the ways of our old sinful selves and to live out the lives that you've won for us. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your faithfulness over the years to the NAMA project. And thank you for your grace and faithfulness to us in our lives. Help us to use every opportunity we have to reach out to others with our unique story of how your grace has impacted us, so that others might receive your grace too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Asante sana. Thank you very much.